Decoration Day was when I came to this area. To me, it was always Memorial Day. The Bible has a great deal to say about memorials. If you want to just have an interesting study, get your concordance, a good Cruden's concordance, complete one. Look up the word memorial and find how many memorials there are in the Bible. God is a God who wants us to remember. At the Lord's table, we take the fruit of the vine, everyone listening, everyone, the fruit of the vine, and when we take the unleavened bread, Jesus said, as oft as ye do it, or do it in remembrance of me. We have the song, Lest I Forget Gethsemane. The Bible says over and over again, God remembers. God remembers. He said, it said in Acts chapter 10 and verse 4 concerning Cornelius, it said that Cornelius' alms were come up as a memorial before the Lord. God said, I never forget a dime given to a poor person. I never forget a good deed done for another. Thine alms are come up as a memorial. God said, Cornelius, I'll never forget what you've done. Now, God does not want us to forget. Memorial Day means several things to me, and I'd like to take the Scripture and from the Scripture and stories from the Scripture, tell you what it means to me. In the first place, every Memorial Day, I spend some time remembering the departed from our church. This morning, we're going to do something we've never done. I'm going to ask you to stand one at a time and call the name of someone who has passed away in the last, members of our church, gone to heaven. Folks that you can think of, let's say in the last 10 years, shall we? Let's remember those. Or since I've been pastor here, that way we can all remember. Let's remember those for a few moments who passed away in the last almost 12 years. Who would stand first and give us the name? Grandma Loser, one of the first funerals I had when I came here. Brother Verley Fields, God bless his memory. Real loud, please. Charles Swellkill. Helen Wise, a year ago today. I'll have to have you real loud. Mr. Bowling, God bless him. Dr. Billings. Mr. Bowling got saved when he was up in years. And he testified one day how God had blessed him and changed his life. And he got up in his 72 or 3 at the time and just been saved a year or so. And he said, I just want to thank God. He said, before I got saved, he said, I drank and I cursed and swore. And he said, since I got saved, I have not had a drop of liquor and I'm getting better about my cursing. All right. Newt Mickey, thank you. Mr. Alt, for chairman of our deacon board for many years. Who? I'm sorry, I'm pointing to Mr. Husengay. Say it again. Belking? All right. Give the name again. Pelkey? All right. And Mrs. Fess, what was yours? Martha Hartman, the dear blind lady. Danny Penley, one of our little boys. Mr. Tudor, God bless him. Are you behaving yourself, Mrs. Tudor? Just before he died, he called his wife in and said, he said, did you hear Brother Hiles on the radio broadcast this morning? She said, no, I had to get some sleep, Papa. And he said, you better hear him. Now, I know I'm going to go to heaven, but I'm keeping my eye on you, woman. You better be careful how you behave. Anybody see Mrs. Tudor misbehaving? Let me know, because all that. Who? Mrs. Nagy, God bless her. She suffered so long. Joel Baker, yes. Joel Baker was engaged to marry one of our fine young ladies, Mary Weaver. They set the wedding date and sent out the invitations, and he got cancer and passed away. Brother Howard? Mr. Foss, God bless Uncle Bill Foss. You stand back at the door and pass out chewing gum. I used to kid him. He was in his 70s, and he passed out chewing gum and mints and candy to all the kids. And as the girls would grow up, he'd still keep hugging them. I used to say, I wish I'd be dead and I'd get 70 so I could hug all the pretty girls that come to church. I said that to Dr. Rice the other day, and he said, Dr. Howes, it takes more than being 70. God bless Uncle Bill Foss. A little louder. Oh, Mr. Burbage, her husband passed away, yes. Mr. Rice, yes, her husband, God bless him. Father and grandfather, all right. Arliss and Denham, went into Christ one afternoon, Cal Streeter and I did, and he died of the heart attack. Harley Dunsworth, God bless Harley. Harley was a horseshoe pitching champion of our church, never got beat. One time, about 8 years ago, I pitched him and lucked out and beat him, and I refused to pitch him again anymore. And up in heaven, he holds bitterness in his heart about me, I'm sure. God bless Harley Dunsworth. God bless Mr. Ault. God bless him and you. Who? I'm going to have some men to relay some of these. Adelsberger, thank you. Charles who? The little girl down here first, please. Charles who? Buckler? Butler. Oh, yes. All right. I can see your lips, but I can't hear you. Andrew Gully. I won him to Christ, by the way, about 10 or 12 years ago. God bless those. Parr and then Grandpa Miller. God bless him. I can see him now walking down the street, steps about. Grandpa Miller, Dad Miller's father, used to say to me, "One thing I like about you, young feller, you ain't got no rope for a backbone." And he was my buddy. Who? Howard Veazey, taught here many years. Dillon, yes, Mr. Dillon, her husband. Who? McCallan, thank you. Homer who? Homer Brown, yes, I recall Homer Brown, yes, very much. Mr. Thurston ran a tater shop over here, just around the corner for many years. Mrs. Fetters, God bless Mrs. Fetters, was sick for so long, a sweet, precious Christian. Mrs. Belby and Gary Edwards. Gary was killed in Vietnam. Ernest Cheek, all right. Yes, the Craigs baby that died in the nursery one night suddenly. Bob Glinsky, Bob, God bless him, died Christmas Day, and bless his memory. Mr. Gifford, God bless that good man, Mr. Gifford. Walter Moran, I'd forgotten about that case. That man was the hardest man, they said, to win to Christ. Nobody ever get him saved. And I won him to Christ late one night. He died just a few days later. Everybody was surprised. Lola Pemberton died just not long ago. God bless her, one of the sweetest deaths. Mrs. Fredley, God bless Mrs. Fredley. When she died, I went to the hospital 3 o'clock in the morning. She was dying, and I said, "Mrs. Fredley, you know how sick you are?" She said, "Sure do." She began to spit up blood. And I said, "Mrs. Fredley, is that blood you're coughing up?" And she said, "It ain't tobacco juice." On her deathbed. Isn't that something? All right. Somebody tell me what she said. What do you mean, tell me what she said? Gonzalez. All right, thank you. All right. Roger Underwood had leukemia. Roger Underwood went to the hospital to give blood. Didn't even know he was sick. Went to give blood, but he's a soldier. And they took a test of his blood before he gave a blood transfusion and found he had leukemia. I wish I could hear all of these. Maud Owens, one of our shut-ins. God bless her. Bertha Hayworth, yes, I'll declare. Isn't it amazing how we fail to remember people like this? This is good for us. All right, in the balcony, anybody? In the choir. Brother Davis and Mrs. Annis. Mrs. Annis sat over here many years. Yes. Gary Edwards. Gary was mentioned a while ago. Gary died in Vietnam. He wanted to go to Vietnam. He asked for Vietnam duty. He wanted to fight for his country, and he died. God help us to make it worth the debt he paid. Miss who? Mathis. Mrs. Mathis. All right. Brother Fisk, mother-in-law. Mr. and Mrs. Moore were killed in a car wreck together on a vacation. Ben Kaufman died recently. He was on the pulpit committee that called me to the church here. Mrs. Blanche Smith, yes, very well. Remember her funeral service. Betty Martin and Yetta James. I won Yetta James to Christ. Amazing. I'd forgotten many of these. Yetta James, the little Jewish lady. I went to the house one day to win souls, knocked on the door, and Her daughter, her married daughter, came to the door, and I said, Mrs. James came to visit our service. She said, yes, she only came because she's deaf, and there's not many places a deaf person can go and meet other deaf people. But we're Jews, and we're not interested. And I said, don't feel bad about that. I'm half Jew myself. She said, you're what? I said, I'm a half a Jew myself. She said, you don't look like it or sound like it. I said, but I am. I'm a half a Jew. I haven't always been that way. I was all Gentile, but I said, when I was 11 years old, I became a half a Jew. And I said, one day I'm going to become full-blooded Jew, any day. She said, what are you talking about? And I went in and told her how to be saved, and she was saved very sweetly and became a half Jew herself. And turned around, and in the sign language, won Mrs. James to Christ. Within 5 minutes after she got saved, she won her mother to Christ in the sign language, baptized them both the next Sunday night. The Perkies and Mrs. McPherson and three little Perky babies also. Aubrey Hinton. Thomas Smith and I won Aubrey Hinton to Christ back in his backyard one afternoon under an old tree that was dying. And God bless his memory. Mrs. Ruby Dawson. By the way, I recall her very well. All right? Teresa DeWitt, little Sunday school girl. Young Mexican man was saved in our church and died not long after. Who? Yes, Michael Rice, one of our little boys, teenage boy, I guess 13. Mrs. Rice, Mr. Rice, two of our fine Alvin Rice family. Michael had kidney disease and died. Never saw a boy suffer any more than Michael suffered. Well, yes. That's a good one. Mrs. Rodriguez, by the way, Mother and I won her to Christ one afternoon behind her store where she lived. And she's the one who, after she got saved, she said, Father, would you bless me before you go? And I didn't want to disappoint her. So he stopped, put my hand on her head and blessed her. She's a very, very faithful Christian. This will be the last one. Mr. Peterson, yes, Mr. Peterson. Well, let's bow our heads and thank God for these. Oh, Father, how sweet the memories are. And how many wonderful people you must have in heaven. We rejoice that it's privileged us to get to know them. And on this Memorial Day, we thank Thee for them and their lives. From the smallest little baby born and lived just a few hours to the oldest adult, we thank Thee for their lives. May those of us who yet remain make our lives worthwhile for Thee. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll be very brief, but I want to tell you how I celebrate Memorial Day every year. First thing I do is what I just did. I'm glad we did it. I thought of people I hadn't thought of in quite a while. I think of those who passed away. Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, it's so easy for us to get so wrapped up in the future we forget the past. It's so easy to get wrapped up in what we're going to do tomorrow we forget the person we did it with yesterday. And so our Lord says, remember. Remember me. If Jesus himself wanted to be remembered, he's going back to heaven. And he said, don't forget me. Remember me. And don't you think that Verley Fields wants us to remember him? And don't you think that Mrs. Fredley and Mrs. Pemberton and Danny Finley and all the others, Mrs. Rodriguez and all the others, want us to remember them? And I think up in heaven this morning, probably there's somebody griping, saying, they forgot me, they forgot me. And I think a lot of them are chuckling. I thought it was Tobachik a while ago. When I went into Christ, I went him on the sofa to Christ. Chuck Murphy and I were out soul winning, and I won Mr. Kovacic to Christ. And about two years later, he was dying. He died on the same sofa. He wouldn't leave the sofa where he was converted. He died, and as he was dying, his head was right there. And on his deathbed, he looked up and said, Pastor, I dreamed about you last night. And I said, did you? He said, yes, I dreamed about you. He said, I dreamed that you were up in an airplane, and the airplane was going to crash. And somebody said, we better pray. And you said, we can't pray till we take an offering. John Wesley once said, my people die well. I can say the same thing. My people die well. You know what? I visited a few churches lately and buildings and so forth, and I've been in some dead-looking places. You know, we have more fun at funerals than a lot of you folks have at weddings. Our folks have more fun dying than most of you do living, you sour pussies. so we remember. But there's something else I do in World 8, and that is, I always do what God admonished the Israelites to do. I won't turn to it because of time, but in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 14, the Lord said, "Now then, you've left the land of bondage. You've left the land of Egypt. You're going toward the promised land." Now he said, "I want you to have a memorial of your salvation from Egypt. A memorial of your deliverance." And so God gave them the Passover. And he said, "I want you to, on the first month of the year, the 10th day of the month, every year, I want you to get you a lamb. I want you to keep that lamb for 4 days and be sure he's without spot, without blemish. After 4 days, I want you to kill the lamb. I want you to take the blood and sprinkle that blood on the doorpost." And he said, "Well, they did back down on the Passover day." But he said, "I want you to always have a Passover in memorial of the fact that you're saved. Don't forget when you got saved." And so every Memorial Day, I relive the time I got saved. I go to the place. That's what the Lord is saying. Don't forget when you got saved. Don't forget the day of your salvation. Okay, right now, right this minute, I want every person in this house to think of where you were when you got saved. Close your eyes for a moment, would you? Think. Where were you? Think of the moment, the place, the time when you got converted. I mean, that's where you got saved. How many can say, "Preacher, I'm thinking of one right now, place. I could take you to it and show you and say, that's where I got saved." Would you raise your hand, please? Thank you. You can lift, put your hands down, lift your heads. May I have your attention again? If you couldn't raise your hand, why don't you have a memorial day today? If you couldn't raise your hand, why don't you this morning say, right here, this morning, I'm going to say, on Memorial Day, May 30th, 1971, at the altar or at the pew of the First Baptist Church in Hammond, that's where I got saved. And then from now on, I'll be able to say, I know where I was saved and when I was saved. So this morning, every day, Memorial Day, I stop and recall the little place where I came to Christ. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice until its rapture's all abroad. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Do you know when you're saved? Do you know the place? Can you take me to it? If not, in God's name, don't walk out the door this morning unless you know you're saved. But there's a third thing I do. Memorial Day, I always stop and thank God for people who've been loyal to me as pastor. In the 17th chapter of Exodus, the Bible teaches a wonderful story. The Amalekites were fighting against the Israelites, and Moses was leading the Israelites. And the Bible says his hands got heavy, and he'd hold his hands up. When his hands were held up, the victory was to God's people. When his hands would fall, the victory would flee, and the other Amalekites would be winning. And so Moses would hold up his hands till they got heavy, and then his hands would get heavy, and he'd lower his hands, and they'd lose the battle. And he'd hold them up again, and they'd lose the battle. And finally somebody said, "Moses, you get on a rock here. You get on a rock. And Aaron, you get on one side of him. And Hur on the other side." But maybe you and Dr. Billings help me here. "On the other side." And so Moses said, "I'll be on the rock." And Aaron on one side held up his hand. And Hur, that's H-U-R, on the other side held up his hand. And the Bible said as long as they were holding up his hands, the battle was the Israelites and the victory belonged to God's people. But when his hands were not held up, they couldn't win. When his hands were held up, they could win. Thank you, fellas. Now, the picture you just saw is the great secret of First Baptist Church. For these 12 years, I've been standing on a rock. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. I've been standing on this book, and I've been saying, this book is so, and Christ is God's Son, and the Bible is true, and you got to get born again, and salvation through Jesus Christ, and believe the Word of God is verbally inspired. I've been standing on this rock now for almost 12 years, and this morning I pause to thank God for those who've held my hands during these 12 years. I always do this on Memorial Day now. 11 years ago, my hands were heavy. 11 years ago, when I walked in the pulpit in the auditorium next door of the old building, my hands were trembling. We were in a battle. I tried to stand for what I thought was right here at First Baptist Church. We were in a battle. And God bless the people. Many of you here this morning, you stood beside the preacher and you held up his hands. I can recall word after word after word. One man came in and said, "I'm not much on ability, but I'm long on availability." Pat Koppel, I don't ever forget that, came in my office one day. I didn't know Pat from Adam. And he came in and he said, "You don't know me, but," he said, "I just want you to know I'm for you." It came an hour when I needed a pat on the back and I needed encouragement. Every smile, and every bit. We have men in our church on our deacon board right now whose fathers were on our deacon board. Two of them whose fathers were on our deacon board. Brother Beebe, 11 years ago. And their fathers left the church. They're good men. They're not bad men. They're wonderful Christians, but they felt like they ought to leave. And two of our men on our deacon board now, they said, we're going to stand beside the preacher, and we're going to stay. I never forget it. I never do. And on Memorial Day, I paused to thank God for those. And I remember when you held my hands and lifted my hand and held up the preacher's hand. May I say, a lot of folks have encouraged you this year and through your life. Don't forget them. Don't forget them. Remember those who've helped you. Students graduating from high school, you didn't do it by yourself. This morning, if I had done what I should have done, I'd have called your parents up here and said congratulations. I'd have called every Sunday school teacher that's ever taught you and said congratulations. I'd have called every superintendent and said congratulations. I'd have called every man who's pastored you and said congratulations. I'd have called hundreds of people who've invested in your lives. No man is a self-made man. God pity these people that say, well, I made it from the ground on my own. You're a fool is what you are. You're an idiot. Nobody makes it on his own. On Memorial Day, we ought to stop and look back. And I think this morning of those who helped me. I think of my dear Uncle Harvey, who helped put me through school, and who helped me in so many ways. I think of my dear Sunday school teachers, Mr. Atwood and Mr. Squires and Proctor Boyd and dear Mrs. Smith and Mrs. Hazelwood and Dr. Rutherford, who's now in heaven, and Mr. Skeeter and Mrs. Skeeter and many, many others. Mrs. Bethel, who taught me that Jesus loved me when I was a little boy, and I pause to remember those. Oh, don't forget today. Don't forget. You say, nobody appreciates me. Forget who appreciates you. And you just start appreciating others and think today. And so the Lord said, Moses, I want that rock to be a memorial. I want that rock on which you stood while they lifted up your hand. I want that rock to be a memorial. And so God made it. Every time you look at that rock, don't forget who held your hand. There's something else I do every Memorial Day. I stop and remember his help. In the book of Exodus, chapter 28, verses 12 and 29, we have the story of the high priest. The high priest wore a breastplate. It had on the breastplate the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. He wore it right next to his heart. And after that breastplate was given to the high priest, the Lord said, he said, Aaron, that breastplate is going to be a memorial unto me. That means don't ever forget the love of Christ. Don't ever forget the help that God has given. He holds us beside his breast this morning. And on Memorial Day, I always stop and think how good God's been to me. I've told you this. When I preached my first sermon, I preached 3 minutes and couldn't think of anything to say and sat down in failure, shame, and humiliation. And the deacon chairman got up and apologized to people because the pastor had gotten me to preach and I didn't know anything to say much. And I went to my room and I got on my knees. And I said, dear God, I don't know how to preach. I don't know how to outline. I don't know how to make a speech. I don't know how to be a preacher. And I'll never know how to be a preacher if you don't help me. And I fell on my face and I said, oh my God, help me to be a preacher. And I said, if you do, I promise you one thing. I'll never finish a sermon without going alone and getting on my knees and remembering tonight. And after I finish preaching now, I'll go to my office, and after everybody's gone, I'll get on my knees behind the desk, and I'll remember that night when I realized I couldn't do it, and he'd have to do it. Oh, remember how good God's been. Remember every blessing of God. The strength he gave you in time of bereavement. The strength he gave you in time of weakness. Remember the dead. Remember salvation. Remember the help of others. But remember the love of Christ. The breastplate is a memorial. But there's something else I do on Memorial Day, and that is I always remember the love that others have shown to me. The love that others have shown to me. The lady came in our scripture a while ago, and she took the alabaster box of precious ointment, and she broke it, and she anointed Jesus, and Judas Iscariot said, wait a minute! That could have been sold for 300 pence and given to the poor. And Jesus said, the poor you have with you always. But he said, this shall be done as a memorial as long as the gospel is preached. Jesus said, I'm never going to forget this. And up in heaven today, Jesus is remembering the love of others. Seniors, don't forget those who've loved you. Don't forget those who've given and sacrificed and cared. I know a lot of times we've seemed out of date. I know we've seemed like we're harsh. I know it seemed like we're unreasonable. I know that. But we loved you. And maybe sometimes we're old fogey a bit. And maybe sometimes we have made a mistake or two. But if we have, it's been because we love you and want the best for you. Don't forget those who have loved you. But there's something else I always remember on Memorial Day. In Joshua chapter 4, verse 7, the story is completed about the battle of Ai. There was a man in the camp of Israel whose name was Achan. Achan disobeyed God, stole a garment, took some gold he was not supposed to take, and because of it, God caused the Israelites to lose the battle of Ai, a little bitty battle. And after it was over, Achan, by the way, Achan and his family, and I'm going to say a word about Callie right now, so wake up. People have asked me, what do you think about Lieutenant Callie? I'm going to say a word about it right now. God said, take Achan and Mrs. Achan and all the Achan kids and stone them to death. Did you know that God oftentimes, in effort to prove himself, God oftentimes told people to destroy man, woman, and child? When the Israelites took over the city of Jericho, God said, not one thing should be left. Now, I'm not saying Callie did right. I am saying we're going to do it. It'll hurt us a lot more taking the bite out of our army than putting the bite into our army. And I think the Callie case is a very unfortunate thing. But anyway, I did as it may. God said, okay, I want you to put a heap of stones out here. I want you to call this place the place Achor. I want it to be called the Valley of Achor. I want you to stack some stones out here where Achan died, where his wife died, where his kids died. Stack the stones out here. And these stones shall be a memorial. God said, you Jews, I want you to not forget what I did to Achan because he sinned. And so on Memorial Day, I always remember God's punishment on sin. Let me illustrate. In our house, we have a little dog named Gigi. She's the most priest about dog in America. Now then, David has brought home a dog from Bill Rice Ranch called Tenny. That's for Tennessee. Tenny. Tenny's a beagle. Dumbest, stupidest looking canine that ever breathed the breath. When Gigi came to live at my abode, one day she was out in the street and I said, Gigi, come in out of the street. And Gigi ran the other way. The next time that Gigi got close to me, we had an understanding. I got a hold of her, and I beat the fire out of her. And I said, now you listen to me, and you listen well. When I call, you come. You understand that? And she went. I said, look at me. Sit still. You know how I do that. And I said, now, when I call, you come. And you know, nobody else can sometimes get Gigi in, but I can call. And she tucks her tail and comes running. I don't care how mean. I say, Gigi, you get in here! And she says, that's the boss calling. And she comes. So, David brought Timmy home from Bill Rice Ranch. Big, flop-haired. By the way, we'll have some puppies for sale pretty soon. I'm going to give you one, doctor. Female. But anyway, one day I went outside. Tenny was in the street. I said, Tenny, get in. And Tenny ran the other way. And so I walked over and I said, grab Tenny and beat the fire out of her. And I said, now look at me. And she went. And I said, now, you're going to get that every time you disobey me. And you know when I call Tenny, or how loud or how hard I call, she says to herself, I better go. Because I remember what he did when I didn't go. And she'll tuck her tail and she'll come. She gets to the door. She just slides in the door like that. And all I've got to do is walk in the living room. Anywhere where they are, I just walk in. And Gigi, I just look at Gigi. And she just falls over on her back. And then I look over at Tenny. Tenny's about three times as big as Gigi. And she just falls over on her back. You know why? Because every time I look at him, it's Memorial Day. Every time. And God in his wisdom said,
Don't, every time you look at that, those stones, I want you to remember that you gotta pay for sin. Sin pays. You gotta pay for it. I want you to recall the time when Achan took that was mine, and Achan stole that money and that coat. I want you to recall that time when Achan came out here, he and his wife and his children, and the Israelites took stones and stoned them to death till their dead carcasses fell here in the valley of Achor. Don't forget it, God said. Here is a memorial.
And so every year I must pause to remember the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin. And how it doesn't pay. And then I stop and say this, thank God he never forgets. That tear that you shed, nobody saw, God saw it. That deed that you did for another, nobody saw it, but God saw it. And God said to Cornelius, your alms are come up as a memorial unto me. And so today, may I suggest that you get alone sometime today and won't you remember our beloved ones who sat with us before we're in heaven. And won't you remember those who blessed you and those who've loved you. And remember that God punishes sin. Remember the love of others. Remember the help of God. But by all means, remember the day and the place when you got born again. Let us pray. Father, so simple and yet profound. It seems that you are always concerned about us remembering. The breastplate on the priest was a memorial. The stone under Moses was a memorial. The lamb of Passover was a memorial. The alabaster box of ointment was a memorial. The stones of Achan and Achor were memorials. And even the alms that we do are memorials. And so on this memorial day, may every person in this house pause to remember. And those that cannot remember the day of salvation, may they make today that day. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. May I ask you one more time, how many can say, Brother Hiles, I could take you to the place and point and say, Brother Hiles, there it was, right there, where I got saved. Would you lift your hand, please? Now, if your hand is down, I want to speak to you. You can lower your hands. If you could not raise your hand, you need to remember. If you could not raise your hand, then you do not know that you're going to heaven when you die. I wonder how many would say, Brother Hiles, I couldn't raise my hand, but I want to know. I want to know. I want to go to heaven. I want to know that I'm saved. I want to know that I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't know it. I couldn't raise my hand then, but I wish I could. First on the lower floor, how many would say, pray for me that I might know that I'm saved? Pray for me that I might know that if I died, I would go to heaven. Lift your hand way up high. You want to be saved, but you don't know that you are. Would you lift your hand, please, way up high? May I see it? On the lower floor. Way up high, quickly. Just raise it. God bless you. Is there another? Is there another? On the lower floor. You want to know that you're saved. You don't know it, but you wish you did. And you'd say, pray for me that I might be saved and know it. Lift your hand. Who else? Quickly. Would you raise your hand? Way up high. On the lower floor. May I see it quickly? And I'll pray for you. God bless you. And God bless you. Is there another, please? You don't know that you're saved, but you wish you did. Yes, God bless you back in the back. And God bless you over here, little lady. I see you. Are there others on the lower floor? I see that hand, son. God bless you. Who else on the lower floor? You'd say, include me in the prayer. Pray for me. I want to be saved and know it. Lift your hand. In the balcony on my left, the east balcony, pray for me, you'd say. I want to know that I'm saved. Lift your hand, would you please? Way up high. May I see your hand? In the east balcony. In the center balcony, would you lift your hand and say, pray for me. God bless you. Is there another? God bless you. I see you, sir. God bless you. He loves you this morning. All the others in the center balcony? The balcony on my right. God bless you. And God bless you. And God bless you. Yes, and God bless you, pal. I see you. God love you. Are there others in the balcony on my right? You'd say, include me in the prayer. I want to know that I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please? Father, I pray for all of these today. May this day, May 30th, 1971, be the day of salvation for these. Now our heads are bowed. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to leave your seat in a minute. We're going to stand and sing a song. When we do, I want you to leave your seat if you raised your hand. I want you to come to the nearest aisle, or if you're in the balcony, down the steps. I want you to come down to the front and tell me, that you're receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior today. You can walk out of those doors a child of God. You can know that you're saved. You don't have to go to hell if you don't want to. You can go to heaven if you want to. So I'm going to ask you to leave your seat. On the first stanza, the first word of the first invitation song, I want you to leave your seat and come to the aisles, down the aisle to the front, and say, I want to receive the Savior. Would you do it? Fellow, would you do it? Little lady, would you do it? Would you do it? Young man, would you do it? Children, would you do it? Fellow here in the front row in the balcony, would you do it? Fellow up here on my left, would you do it? In the center balcony, would you come? Back here on my left on the lower floor, would you come? Over here on my right on the lower floor, would you come? But wait a minute. How many would say, Brother Hiles, I've been saved, but have not been baptized by immersion since I got saved? Would you lift your hand, please? You've been saved, but not baptized since you got saved. Would you raise your hand all over the house, all over the house, way up high? Yes, all the others, way up high, way up high. Yes, God bless you. All the others, God bless you. All the others, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. All right. Now this morning, you come for baptism. You come and show your gratitude for Jesus saving you. Show your appreciation for the death of Christ on the cross. You come. I'll baptize you this morning. We have the towels. We have the robes. All we need is you. So you come on the first stanza. Then if there are those that ought to join our church but transfer, you come and transfer that membership on the very first word of the very first stanza. I'll ask the ushers to hold the folks in the back for a minute. And I want you to come. Father, bless the invitation. May these who need to be saved, baptized, and unite with the church, may they come this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.